Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. It's indictment week, and what I want to know is, how do you think the indictment affects you here in Wisconsin? I'm going to talk about it at length today, but, you know, I've had a couple days to think about this, and I got to say, it's deeply bothersome to me, especially the role that a lot of Wisconsin lawyers have to play in the indictment. They're very, very specifically involved. In fact, one is even referenced generically in the indictment, not as a co-conspirator. I did do my homework in these last couple of days to check that out. But what do you think? What do you feel about this? How does the indictment affect you as a Wisconsinite? How do you think it should affect Wisconsin elected officials? 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. I especially want to hear from you if you've never called in to a political talk radio show before. I want to hear from women, first-time callers. Folks, let Calvin know. Thanks. My thanks to Calvin for being with me. Anya's got a little vacation here, which is terrific. But does this bother you as much as it bothers me? We knew many of these facts, but to see it pulled together in these 45 pages and to know the documentary evidence that's going to come, I'm disturbed. I'm angry as a Wisconsinite. And I'm impatient in waiting for the Attorney General. What are you thinking about all of this? 844-967-2789. If you've got questions about the indictment, I'm your gal. I've been looking at this puppy for 2 days, thinking about evidence and witnesses and this particular judge and what this jury might look like. What's your top line interest about the indictment? What are your questions? I've been doing some reflecting on the First Amendment. What does all this mean? What do we discern from the charges that have been filed and also the charges that haven't been filed? I think there's a lot that Jack Smith is saying in the indictment. 844-967-2789. You can always join us off the app, which you can get from any of your favorite app stores. But let's dig in here. And before we get exactly into the indictment, I wanted to observe two small other tidbits of news. And that was the fact that yesterday, Law Forward, a Madison-based liberal-leaning law firm that really focuses on voting issues, yesterday they filed suit aiming to redo Wisconsin's electoral maps. And no accident that lawsuit was filed one day after the newest justice on the Supreme Court, Justice Janice Protasiewicz, was sworn in. Of course, if you want to hear a repeat of Civic Media's live coverage of Justice Protasiewicz's swearing in, you can go to the website and check that out. It'll be available to you there. I think that this is a pretty momentous occasion. We're seeing an incredibly critical piece of Wisconsin's electoral process being challenged now directly in the Supreme Court. And I've heard others, and I have also referred to what we have now in terms of how we elect our congresspeople, our members of the House of Representatives on the national level, and also how we elect our state assembly and Senate candidates, as autocratic democracy. In other words, you're voting, but the outcomes are all predetermined because the maps are so rigged. And that has always been a deep concern of mine. Many of you, if you've been listening to my show for a long time, also know that my law professor, William Whitford, was the named plaintiff in the challenge to Wisconsin's maps that made its way all the way to the Supreme Court after the 2010 census. So here we find ourselves again. Here's what attorney Jeff Mandel of Law Forward had to say about their lawsuit filed just yesterday. In the past 12 years, one political party captured the legislature and has insulated itself from being answerable to the voters. I really don't know how you would argue that point. Despite the fact that our legislative branch is meant to be the most directly representative of the people, the gerrymandered maps have divided our communities, preventing fair representation. This has eroded confidence in our political system, suppressed competitive elections, skewed policy outcomes, and undermined democratic representation. We have endured 12 years of rule by right-wing interests, and the voters of Wisconsin deserve fair representation. Yeah, I mean, this is what we've got here. When you've got nearly 60% plus of Wisconsinites routinely voting on an overall population basis for Democratic candidates, and yet our representation in the assembly hovers around 33%. It's a little bit better in the Senate, but we were about two elected officials away from Republicans having a veto-proof majority in both houses of the state legislature. That's insanity. That's insanity. And of course, the result of that has been the fertile planting ground by which Republicans dared to engage in this conspiracy with Donald Trump and his agents to overthrow our democratic institutions and to ignore the will of Wisconsin voters. Without that gerrymandering, without that lopsided political control, without that lack of accountability, the GOP in the state of Wisconsin moved much more further right. Positions became more extreme, compromise next to impossible. And it was only with that fertile ground could this invasive species known as Donald Trump have been planted in Wisconsin. I am embarrassed. Are you? 844-967-2789. And I'm frustrated. The vast majority of people in Wisconsin, we're not hyper-partisans. We want government to work well, to be accountable. And yet, what we've tacitly approved by continuing to elect these folks is a rigged system. Not rigged for Democrats' benefit, not even rigged to give moderates the benefit of the doubt, but the system in Wisconsin has been rigged for over 12 years to promote exclusively the most partisan, most extreme elements of the Republican Party. I think it's time we make that change.
Yeah, maybe we got some people looking to weigh in on the issue. First, we got Heather from Madison.
Heather, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Are you a first-time caller? It's great to have you.
Yes. So I'm not sure if I'm doing this correctly. And I don't know if you can hear me, but here's what...
No, I can hear you, Heather, loud and clear.
Okay. I would be more excited as a Wisconsinite if our false electors were being indicted the way they are in Michigan.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good way to start here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Heather. Why is it that the false electors bother you so that we haven't seen more from Attorney General Call about the false electors here in Wisconsin? You still there, Heather?
I can't hear you well, so I'm going to let you go back to talking. And hopefully I'll be able to hear you when I get back to my radio.
Perfect. Thanks for the call and the question, Heather. Heather asked and pointed out, you know, that she's worried and concerned about the fact that we haven't seen any legal action or ethical recourse or meaningful consequences for any of the Wisconsin fake electors. So very timely question, Heather, and I agree with it. I too have been frustrated. And of course, today we actually did have some statements finally, from Attorney General Josh Call. Then I'm going to go back to a caller. He said today, there was a press conference, Heather. He said, it's critical that people who committed crimes with the intent of overturning the results of an election are held accountable. I certainly expect that we will see further developments involving people identified in that document, referring to the Jack Smith indictment. And for other states, including Wisconsin, it's my view that those who committed crimes with the goal of overturning the results should be held accountable. So is he talking about further legal action from Jack Smith? We don't know. When asked specifically, Attorney General Call said the Wisconsin Department of Justice, quote, can neither confirm nor deny the existence of an investigation. Yeah, that's a little frustrating. He was also asked whether or not he believes a theory that is in the Jack Smith indictment, the Trump indictment, about the fact that some fake electors may have been, quote, tricked into participating in the scheme. Attorney General Josh Call replied, certainly as additional facts are developed, that would impact how cases potentially could be investigated if they are, or prosecuted if they are. That's something that we're, as I mentioned, the day that the indictment came out, we're certainly following what's going on very closely. I'm going to tell you what I think of that. That's a bunch of like mealy mouth nonsense. Let's start calling up Josh Call and tell him we want him to actually do his job and go after these SOBs. Kelvin, we got other callers waiting.
Yes, we do, but we are coming up on 1 minute left. I don't know if we want to try to squeeze one more in.
Yeah, let's take one more, and then if you're on hold, stay there. I'll go to you right after the break. Who we got next, Kelvin?
All right, we got Annie from Watertown.
Annie, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you? And please be brief.
What I am is heartbroken. Okay, instead of what I was going to say, I will mention one thing I heard last hour from a caller about, well, isn't it both who's ever in power's right to gerrymander? And it's like, wait a minute. No, gerrymandering is not a positive thing. I mean, the message I got from their statement is that, hey, anybody can gerrymander, but the idea is to not gerrymander. Right?
It's bad for everybody. I couldn't agree with you more. If you're on hold, stay there. If you want to join the conversation, what does the indictment mean to you? 844-967-2789. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome back, everybody. What does the Trump indictment mean to your family? Are you as embarrassed to be a Wisconsinite as I am? 844-967-2789. We've heard from folks pointing out the fact that Josh Call is yet to move on the fake electors from Wisconsin, one of whom is a fellow that I had some significant dealings with, a fellow by the name of Bob Spindell. Many of the longtime listeners will know that I do have a day job. I am corporation counsel for Milwaukee County. And in that capacity, back in 2020, when the Trump campaign asked for a recount, it was my job to provide legal advice to the Milwaukee County Elections Commission. And Bob Spindell, coordinating with Jim Troupas, and this name will come back, everyone. Bob Spindell, coordinating with Jim Troupas, literally challenged every single ballot that we tried to start counting, every single one of them. And the goal was to stop the count. And it's going to be fascinating to me to see how this timeline stacks up nearly perfectly. Because on the day that Jim Troupas, on behalf of the Trump campaign, working with Bob Spindell, who was to become a fake elector, on the very day that he filed for the recount in Wisconsin, that very same day, he received an email from an attorney who all believe in the Jack Smith indictment to be co-conspirator number 5, And that email laid out how they were going to get fake electors certified and casting votes for Trump on behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thereby depriving millions of voters of their constitutional right to have their vote count. That co-conspirator number five, his name is Ken Cheeseborough. And boy, the indictment is interesting about this feller. But I mostly want to hear from you today. What has this meant to you and your family as Wisconsinites? It's been a couple of days. There's a lot in there to digest. 844-967-2789. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dana from La Crosse, welcome. It's nice to hear from you again. What say you?
Hey, Maggie, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about
you? Good, good, thank you. Say, you know, the guy who's been, you know, lightly implicated so far, I just don't hear enough about it yet. I think it's probably a little deeper than most of the people are saying, but Ron Johnson, what's his role in all this? Because from what I understand, the evidence is that he was first called. He was called and asked if he wanted to participate in this. And then the file got sent on over. And only after he apparently agreed to get it, his aide was told, no, don't give that to Mike Pence. So I guess that's what Ron Johnson is trying to say. He's not involved. But he did get the call, and he did agree initially. And then let's go back a little further. I think we all remember in 2018 when Ron decided to go over to Russia for the 4th of July. And as I look at how this is all playing out now, I have to think that trip possibly was a precursor to a lot of these plans. I mean, it was a year before the next election cycle starts. Yep. That's a lot of, as the Republicans like to say, that's a lot of smoke there.
That's a lot of timeline runway too in the buildup to what later occurred. Yeah, Jim Troupas, Bob Spindell, co-conspirator number five, Ken Cheeseborough, and Ron Johnson are all in the mix in the Jack Smith indictment. 844-967-2789. I'll get into more of those details, but I do want to hear from you. What does this mean to you and your family as Wisconsinites? What should this mean for every elected representative who should care what their constituencies think about this indictment? And I don't believe that every single person that voted for Trump thinks this is not a big deal. That's not true. Of course, there are some diehards, you know, that would today, and have already drank the Trump Kool-Aid. But I know that there are some conservatives and Republicans out there that find this deeply disturbing. What are you demanding of your elected representatives? Have you looked at who's running your county Republican parties? Because I can tell you the fake electors are littered with people, current and former county Republican Party chairs, vice chairs. So Ken Cheeseborough authored the memo. It's referred to in the indictment as the Wisconsin memo that he sent to Jim Troupas on November 18th. Okay, it was emailed to Troupas. And what the indictment says is that memoranda evolved over time from a legal strategy to preserve the defendant's right to a corrupt plan to subvert the government function. Excuse me, from a legal strategy to preserve the defendant's rights to a corrupt plan to subvert the federal government function by stopping Biden electors' votes from being counted and certified. And yes, Dana, Troupas was the one that put Cheeseboro in direct contact with Senator Johnson. Keep it locked and join us, 844-967-2789.
On the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. What does the indictment mean to you? Do you think Josh Call needs to be charging the fake electors from Wisconsin? What about the Wisconsin Office of Lawyer Regulation? Should they be doing something? Because two of these people from Wisconsin that were deeply involved, one is the notable one. This is Jim Troupas. He's a former judge to boot, right? Should the OLR be investigating these folks? 844-967-2789. Should Josh Call have an active investigation going right now into all of the fake electors, Jim Troupas, Bob Spindell, and Ron Johnson? Should that be happening right now? 844-967-2789. My answer is clear. It's yes. Are you kidding me? So I was explaining before that it is co-conspirator number 5, Ken Cheeseboro. He connects to Jim Troupas, former judge, Trump campaign lawyer in Wisconsin that led the recounts. Cheeseboro sends the memo to Jim Troupas on November 18th. Okay. By the way, we know what the subject line of the email said. It read, "The real deadline for settling a state's electoral vote." And in it, Cheeseboro made the argument that January 6th was the real deadline and that you could effectively come up with a fake elector slate and then, you know, hope that a court throws out enough ballots that the Wisconsin outcome is in question. And then we can argue that nobody really knows. And so maybe the legislature does something. I love it. It's in a parenthetical. This is what the memo said. Quote, assuming the electors pledged to Trump and Pence, these are the false fraudulent electors, by the way. More on that in a second. Assuming the electors pledged to Trump and Pence end up meeting at the Wisconsin Capitol on December 14th to cast their votes, which they did in the basement overnight, which is trespassing, and the very act of what they were doing was also a crime. And they were doing this at the same time that the legit electors were actually being casting their votes. All right. Assuming the fake electors, the fraudulent electors, get together in the basement of the Wisconsin Capitol on December 14th to cast their votes, and then they send their votes to the president of the Senate in time to be opened on January 6th, a court decision, parentheses, or perhaps a legislative determination, rendered after December 14th in favor of Trump-Pence slate of electors could be considered timely. Yeah. He's outlining basically like if you throw enough crap on the walls and it sticks and you confuse people enough. And by the way, we've got these fake electors in our pocket. Maybe we can lean on Pence and he'll say, oh, I don't know what to do here. And then throw it to the House. That was the plan. Now, keep in mind, Jim Troupas, on the same day that he gets this memo, files for the recount on behalf of the Trump campaign, okay? This all comes back around, so stick with me, okay? So same day, This is also what Cheeseboro's memo pointed out. Quote, in any judicial review of the canvassing and recounting in Wisconsin, same day that the recount paperwork was filed, we should emphasize that the presidential election timetable affords ample time for judicial proceedings, even if initial errors in the recount require a remand for further recounting. So my job for you all out there in the listening audience is to break it down. Here's what that says. Delay as long as possible so that we can throw as much crap on the wall to potentially permit this gerrymandered to smithereens Wisconsin legislature to pick the electors. It's saying take as long as possible. And you know what Jim Troupas does that day? He files for the recounts. Where does he file for the recounts? You know, in those real northern rural counties. No. He didn't file a single recount petition in any county that voted overwhelmingly for Trump. No, he picks the two counties that voted overwhelmingly for Joe Biden, Milwaukee and Dane County. And what is the legal strategy in those counties, which I personally witnessed and can attest to? We'll object to every single ballot. We'll slow the vote count down so much so that we may in fact stop the vote. This is why I'm embarrassed. Kathy from Cambridge, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you think about this? Kathy, you there?
Time. Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead now. Thanks, Kathy.
I've been smiling in the ear since I heard this. I mean, I've been waiting for this. I've watched closely with Liz Cheney and when we were trying to voice Trump out, get him impeached. So all this stuff is not a surprise to me. I was just hoping that he was going to have to face charges. It was ridiculous that everyone's blowing it off like no big deal. Didn't even matter as hell. And I love Josh Cole, so I'm not going to say anything bad about him. I voted for him. And I think Ron Johnson's going to see his day in court, too. He's in deep, along with Abelman. The federal government do their thing first and see how that goes. But he's not off the hook yet. Yeah.
Well, that's my. Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks so much for calling, Kathy. I really appreciate it. Listen, I like Josh Call, too. I voted for him. I think he's a good man, but I think sometimes you can't lead from behind. You actually have to step out there. You have to put your political neck on the line, and I think he needs to proceed. And if he is waiting to let Jack Smith potentially move on some indictments, and if I was Jim Troupas, if I was Bob Spindell, if I was Ron Johnson, I'm pretty freaking scared right now. So maybe he's waiting for that. But the AG of Michigan didn't. And I think we have as equal or worse problem here in Wisconsin. Thanks for the call, Kathy. I really appreciate it. First-time callers, you will go right to the front of the line. And women callers, it's great to hear ladies' voices on political talk radio. There's not a lot of us, but hey, I bet there's a lot of us listening, and I bet a lot of us that care. Even if we disagree, that's all right. You pick up that phone, you call me, tell me what you think about it. 844-967-2789. Amy from Madison, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hi, Maggie Dawn. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I have been serious in this state for the past decade, ever since Walker and, if you can still believe it, Foxconn, which is still a problem. And the fact that he just basically came in and tore up the state and ruined everything, and now we're like barely making headway. I would love to see Wisconsin and Josh Call particularly do exactly what Michigan did and go after these false electors, make everyone pay their fair share for what they did. I'd love to see Ron Johnson go down. It's just so maddening. And I would also like to see us do something about gerrymandering in the state. I don't know why we need to have maps drawn. It should be popular vote only. Those are just my thoughts. And then just on a side note, if what's worrying me about the next presidential election is the, quite frankly, the presidential pardon. I really don't know much about it or the history of it. But it seems to me that that's become a weaponized, you know, government tactic as well. I mean, Trump made it like a ridiculously pardoned people that should not have been pardoned in the first place. So maybe I don't know the history of it, but if somebody could go into the history of the presidential pardon, I think that'd be a great topic.
Heard, Amy. I will do that. So on Monday, you tune back in, Amy, and you call me up on Monday, and we will talk about this. I guarantee you I'll talk about presidential pardons on Monday. Calvin, help me be accountable to Amy. I'll just tease this about Monday then. I know that there was a person that Donald Trump pardoned, and he pardoned him for some sort of fraud. I forget exactly what it was. And this guy was just recently arrested for what? Fraud. Yep, fleeced people of a few million dollars. To me, it takes one to know one. And, you know, Donald Trump dropped pardons on folks wide and far. Wonder if he felt a kinship. So I wanted to get through this last part. What do you think, ladies, first-time callers, to the front of the line, 844-967-2789 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. So here's what. Yeah, Jim Troupas was the connector between Cheeseboro and the Wisconsin memo, which is talked about extensively in the Jack Smith indictment. And the tactic was to delay the recounts as much as possible to effectively throw into question enough votes in Wisconsin, because Trump only won by 21,000. To effectively trump up enough crap to make an argument that the Wisconsin state legislature gerrymandered all to heck, that they would get to pick how Wisconsin electors were going to vote. And here's what. On January 6th, Troupas connects Cheeseboro with Johnson's chief of staff. He knows that the fake electors met in the Capitol. They were committing a crime by being there. They had no legal right to be in the Capitol at that time. They were trespassers. And Cheeseboro then passes along the slate, apparently, to Johnson's chief of staff. And Troupas had called Ron Johnson and said, you're going to get this from Cheeseboro, and here's what it is, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, what has been reported is it's, quote, Wisconsin electors. And then, of course, you had Ron Johnson lying at first. I didn't have anything to do with it. Oh, there's text messages. Well, gee whiz, I didn't have much to do with it. And now, well, yeah, my chief of staff had these direct text messages with Pence's aide, who basically told my guy to go kick rocks, but I didn't really have much to do with that. It's troubling all. Terry from West Allis, you are on the Maggie Norm Show. What say you?
Flynn told me to go on the website, and I did, for the fake electors, but you can email Josh Call. And when you email Josh Call at, what is it,
www.doj.state. .wi.us.
And you can go on the complaint corner, in the right corner, and you can fill out the form, and you have to get at least 500, like Michigan did, to get the recall, to check on the fake electors. I'm sorry.
Well, listen, you heard it here. It's josh.call@wi.do, something like that. If you literally go to the DOJ website for Wisconsin DOJ, you can figure out how to contact Attorney Josh Call. I applaud that, Terry from West Allis, and whomever your friend was in the background. Teamwork makes the dream work. Thanks for calling the Maggie Don Show. Northwoods Terry, you're on the Maggie Don Show. What does this mean to you?
Yes, Maggie, I want them to proceed also. Go after these rascals. Absolutely, unequivocally. Yes, enforce the law. Yep.
It's his job. You heard it here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We got one segment left. If you want your crack at it, what does the Trump indictment mean to you? 844-967-2789. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. What's the Trump indictment mean to you? First-time callers and women, skip the line. 844-967-2789. CJ, my friend, you are up on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, sir?
Thanks, Meg. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, first off, if we really care about justice, right, you know, it's no coincidence that Devin Archer's testimony came out the same day. That's been the procedure. The leaked information to the CNN reporter from this. And I got a question for you. Who's Merrick Garland's boss? And who is Mr. Clark's boss?
Are you talking about Jeffrey Clark?
Yes, the special counsel Clark. Who is his boss?
Right. So CJ, give me a chance to answer you. Are you insinuating that the president of the United States would unduly influence an attorney general to perhaps, you know, gloss over or interfere with a criminal investigation into the president? Is that what you're insinuating?
Yeah. You remember you saying that about Mr. Barr. Now you quote him.
Right.
So when it's to your advantage, that's what you said, the entire presidency.
Wait a minute. CJ, let's have a conversation here. Yeah, I was being sarcastic when I recounted or characterized what your insinuation would be, because that's precisely what Donald Trump tried to do to Bill Barr when it came to the election. He eventually forced him to quit. Okay. And then let's recount what Jack Smith's indictment and what will be proven in a court of law with evidence will show, that the acting attorney general, Jeff Rosen, was gone around by Jeffrey Clark, who was a civil lawyer that didn't have any business talking about constitutional and election law. He worked in the environmental division of the DOJ. That Jeffrey Clark, who decided that he wanted to elevate himself and become the acting attorney general, effectively hatched a plot to violate DOJ policy and go around both of his bosses to talk to Donald Trump and sell him this garbage, that Donald Trump can hopefully count on Mike Pence to ignore the will of the voters, CJ. Are you talking about that Jeffrey Clark and that Attorney General Barr and this President Joe Biden, who said not a thing about this?
Hasn't said a thing about this. Well, you know, I hope you're as upset about when President Biden pardons himself and Hunter on their way out.
I'm done with CJ now. No. I think you made your point. CJ, that ain't ever happening. Because the difference between Hunter Biden and Joe Biden is that there has been no direct evidence in a court of law. There has been no sworn testimony that is direct, not hearsay. It's different when it's in a court of law and not a House committee. This stuff matters. Let's be clear. Jeffrey Clark tried to effectively force out acting Attorney General Jeff Rosen, and it was almost a midnight massacre a la Richard Nixon. It was only because the entire leadership of the DOJ told Donald Trump to his face in a very late night meeting on January 3rd, that if he replaced Jeffrey Rosen, that they would all quit. By the way, there's about 8 U.S. attorneys who have written books about the fact that Donald Trump forced them out of their jobs. Oh, wait. One of them was the U.S. attorney for the District of Georgia, and that happened in December of 2020. I have no idea why that would have gone down that way. Mark from the SAC, I need a closing thought from you in just about 10 seconds, my brother. Thanks for hanging on.
Yes, sorry, you got me thinking with all this that was going on, I have to think that I wonder if members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the conservative members, were in on this because three of them voted to overturn the election in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, they sure did, so didn't they, Mark?
My question is, did they have something to do with, were they in on, were they keen on this, or were they in on it? Did they know this was going down? And for Bob Spindell to be questioning people's votes in Milwaukee, that sure seems like a conflict of interest to me. It sure seems like a breach of code of ethics to me. And like I've mentioned other shows, that any of these fake electors who were involved in this should have their professional licensures at least examined, because they probably violated the code of ethics.
Probably. They completely have, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for the call, Mark. Four of the six co-conspirators are lawyers. We can either help or we can hurt a lot. CJ, my final rebuttal to you are the following words from Vice President Mike Pence. Calvin, you can just run the clips back to back, my friend.
I think yesterday's indictment will stand either on its own merits or it will fall. I can't really speak to the legal arguments behind it, but I think the American people deserve to know that on that day, President asked me to choose between him and the Constitution, and I chose the Constitution, and I always will. That at the end of the day, history will hold Donald Trump accountable for his reckless words and actions on that day, and I'll always stand by the truth of that and make sure the American people know why I did what I did, Martha. I mean, I had no right to overturn the election. And despite the fact that President Trump has continued to insist that over the last 2.5 years, I want people to know that I stood strong on the Constitution that day by God's grace, and I always will. But let's be clear on this point. It wasn't just that they asked for a pause. The president specifically asked me, and his gaggle of crackpot lawyers asked me, to literally reject votes, which would have resulted in the issue being turned over to the House of Representatives, and literally chaos would have ensued. So I think it's important that the American people know what happened in the days before January 6th. President Trump demanded that I use my authority as vice president, presiding over the count of the Electoral College, to essentially overturn the election by returning or literally rejecting votes. I had no authority to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I ask you to use your common sense, your life experience, look into your hearts, your minds, and use your gut instinct. Did this defendant, Donald J. Trump, conspire to obstruct Congress? Did this defendant, Donald J. Trump, act to deprive people of their constitutionally guaranteed right to vote? This has been the Maggie Dawns Show. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week. I'll be back.
Great show, Maggie.